Okay.
Hi again, Otto. Thank you for continuing in this small meeting between you and me, motivated by the proximity of our magic meeting here in Murcia.
Yeah.
Okay, I would like to ask you about these things that you were describing me out of the recording, or before this recording, about how sometimes you use on purpose this way of describing things in such a way it is not reaching, say, the mind, but it is going somewhere else, like to your soul or whatever. In such a way, it happens to me often when you are using this mode of talking or teaching. In such a way, sometimes I get slept. But you describe like this is not really that I'm sleeping and listening, but it is more like my consciousness has to be switched off, or maybe just switched to a different mode in which this information or knowledge can be processed in a different way, maybe by my soul. I don't really understand the concept or the metaphor. So please, can you further elaborate on that?
Yeah, evidently. I think the core of our being is that we operate on different levels of consciousness. But our education, our environment, doesn't much understand that and doesn't much help to work with that. So a lot of people work with their conscious thoughts, but they are not aware that they create a lot of subconscious feelings and emotions and all kind of decisions about how they relate to others. They have a kind of automatic interaction with the environment. It's a bit like driving a bicycle. They don't have to think about how they ride the bicycle while they go in the environment. And they also don't learn that there's a deeper level in which you can actually get on and off the bicycle and go from a bicycle to something else and change to a car or a train or a plane or a boat, whatever. That you're not stuck to just a bicycle in navigating what you're doing. You're not just stuck to your subconscious feelings of things, but you can actually change from one kind of feeling, one kind of relating to another. So the second level is how you relate. The third level is how you change your relationship. And then at a still deeper level, people can then discover that they cannot just change the way they relate, but they can also combine different ways of relating to things and create new ways of relating to things so that they can even deal with things that they do not know, the unknown. They can even deal with things which are opposite or conflictuous, because they can understand that things can be the opposite of what they are used to. That not just that they transform it, but they're able to go into the opposite mindset, identify with that, and navigate both sides of the equation. And those are different levels of consciousness, and people don't often talk about them. People most often don't learn how to work with them. And yet it is very important to be able to do that. So when you experience that shift in consciousness, you are aware that it happens, you just don't know yet how it happens, and then all of the traditional cultures, they have stories, they have techniques, they have exercises, they have herbs, they have rituals, and many other instruments by which those switches in consciousness can be discovered, explored, trained, and consciously used.
Okay, so you mentioned, for instance, herbs in ancient cultures. And you said that that can be used like for learning. So do you mean that once you have learned how to make these switches in consciousness, you can do them, perform them on purpose at any time?
Yeah, for me it has been like learning to walk. There's nobody there to teach you, because you can only learn to walk for yourself. And it is the counterpart of learning to walk with your body in the outer world, but now learning to walk with the soul in the inner world. That there are choices, decisions, views which need to be looked at differently, that you cannot just accept what people tell you, that you need to look, is there another way that people can see this? When would this not be valid? How can I use it in such a way that it really works for everybody?
I got lost, sincerely, completely lost. My conscious mind went somewhere else. And I am wondering, is it really that I'm learning from a different perspective? Or is it that I just went away and escaped?
Both. And I had to learn to just listen and accept what anybody tells me. And when I was in engineering school, I went to different universities and I listened to different talks, and talks I could not at all understand, with levels of detail specificness which I had no tool whatsoever in my mind to work with. But when I just stepped into the story and listened and felt what was being told, then I discovered that I could actually pick up a whole lot of what was being communicated. And often I discovered that I had a better grasp of the topic than the students of that specific faculty with that specific discipline were having out from their way of experiencing it. So they had learned about it, they knew about it, and they were focused on trying to grasp it, and I was not focused on trying to grasp it. I just basically took a bath in it.
And I was thinking about that expression from you before you said it.
Yeah.
About taking the bath, yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine that, yeah. Yeah, please continue.
So there's that discovering that there's other parts of mind which are at work. So we are not just a scientist having knowledge and information, and we need to organize to get the pieces of the puzzle in place so that we can see the whole picture. But also, like an artist, we can see that there are contour lines, and that the larger picture can already be seen, even though not all of the pieces of the puzzle are in place. You just have to have a feeling of where the pieces of the puzzle need to go.
Okay.
And there's an even deeper level where you can discover that this is a puzzle which is about a seascape, or this is a landscape, or this probably is a mountain. And that even with a few pieces, you already know what it would not be. But there are different levels of consciousness, because it's the same in the body. We have the sensory cells on the surface of the body. They have the precise experience of the vibrations around us. And then they discharge, and they feed that into the neurons, and the neurons say, oh, message, information, and they pass it on. They don't quite know what it is about, because they're not in contact with it. All of these neurons come together in the neural plexus, and suddenly all of these influences are there together. And nobody really knows where it comes from anymore, or what it is about. So to say, it is a totally different, more complex way of information integration. And then it goes into the brain, and everything is suddenly there. And then when everything is suddenly there, from the cells to the neurons, to the neural plexus, to the brain, this picture of the world is created. In India they call it Maya, but it's four levels of consciousness, four dimensions. And what I learned to do is to trust that the body already knows it. I'm just a number so many billion in the row of ancestor, and the body already has everything built up. I just need to trust the body more than what I've been taught in different schools.
Yeah, it's happening to me all the time. It's like I'm trying to absorb, as I realize this is not a conscious process.
Yeah, the mind doesn't have the material. It's like learning a different language. And as a child, I stepped into an environment where they had different languages, and I understood nothing. And yeah. I was there. I had no way to connect to anything of it. It's like a wind blowing around me or a soup. And then I discovered that after a while, something in me knew when things were relevant or not. And a couple of words which kept coming again and again and again sort of by themselves fell into place. And I realized that the soup was turning into spaghetti. A bit later, I realized that there were flows of words and sentences. Things connected up. Things had to fall in place. And later on, I discovered that the spaghetti turned into maccheroni. Little bits, little bites. And they had different color, different meanings, different flavors, and so on. And so this whole cloud of unknown language became words and letters and tools for, like, notes in music. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that it all happened by itself. And I also realized that this is the quicker way of learning anything, simply like a baby diving into it, realizing that that's what's going on, letting it take place. And then at some point, the vapor will become a soup, will become spaghetti, will become macaroni, and everything becomes clear.
Mm-hmm. You know, this recalled me about the course of family constellations. Sometimes I feel like there is too much information. And due to my lack of time between every couple of modules, I can't really study. It's like my only contact with the content is when I am over there. And then sometimes the feeling is, okay, I do not really control the content. I don't know how to act. But somehow the exposure to not only the theory, but all the constellations we do, because, you know, every module is like 14 hours in a weekend.
Yeah.
And the theory can be between 2 to 3 hours. And the rest of the time is practicing. I mean, but in principle, we are the, say, the customers, and our teachers are the therapists.
Yeah.
We haven't practiced too much for the moment. But then you are completely immersed into this, say, language of the how the constellation works.
Yeah.
And of course, we have performed many of them to different people. And then I realized that somehow in my brain, the right sentence or the right movement arises at the right moment.
Yeah.
And this is not something conscious. There is no a clear structure for me about how it happens, but it happens. It's like something wiser than me, side of me, is able to react. So I can somehow imagine what you are describing. And while you were describing it, it also came to my mind how my daughter learned to talk.
Exactly, exactly that. Yes.
But what I mean is that I have a couple of kids, and the guy that is older had a different approach. He learned in a different way.
Yeah.
But my daughter, what she did at the beginning is like she was not able to articulate the language properly. But she just reproduced somehow like the intonation and the length of the sound that she had heard. Yeah. So she did something like, ah, daddy, or ah, water. So somehow it's like she took that soup and started to isolate some pieces that for her some kind of relevance, probably, as you mentioned. And maybe was able only to isolate one word, say macaroni. The other part was soup, but anyway, she took it all together and started to use it like in the right moment. And step by step, she went replacing spoons of soup for more macaroni.
Yeah.
And at the end, she talked very well. I mean, she's very fluid and she has a huge vocabulary. Now it's quite normal, but when she was younger, it was very impressive.
It's a bit like in Chinese language. They have a musical side to the language and they have the word side of the language. She started with the musical side of the language, which in the West is ignored, but which still is there and carries a lot of information. And then other people disconnected from the musical side of the language, which in the Chinese languages they still have. Beautiful. Good example.
Yeah, for me it was very, very curious because I had the previous experience of the guy and then it was very different in her case. And it sounds to me very much like what you described.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
From my side, I think it is more or less clear, although again, I need to iterate. Would you like to add something to this conversation?
I think it's something very important was put forward by what you said, that it all starts with our not knowing and our capacity to learn. And even though the Western culture tends to sort of think that it is about knowing and having to learn, that's the other way around. And I realized that I stopped teaching at the moment that I discovered that my learning is like a baby stepping into the soup of the world. And if that is the quickest way of learning, because in a year a baby learns to walk, learns to talk, learns to sit, learns to piss, learns to communicate, learns to understand, learns to learn, and the capacity to learn is much more important than the capacity to know. The what we know comes from what we learn and how we can learn, and the learning is built in. We're born with the capacity to learn and not with the library in our head. So then teaching is about knowing that the capacity to learn is there and not tell people what to think and how to think, but realizing that people will think and will think for themselves. And I also started to do that because I want to prevent that people become dependent on what I say or what other people say, and that they discover that they can learn by themselves. And I had this double education. The one was in a school which was like preachers on a pulpit telling people what to think and how to think, and then having to regurgitate it, undigest it on the exam to get a pass mark. And the other was discovering by yourself with each other and having the freedom to give it back in different ways, because it is about something else. Now, I recently did a recording on that, that if people are following this program of what I call tuition, then often they end up with brittle knowledge and they become adamant and strict and rigid in their behavior. While when people are helped to learn, let's say intuition, they become flexible in their knowledge and become resilient in their understanding. So I think that in magic, the topic which we are addressing, it's much like that, that it is not what we know and what we have experienced in memory which defines what we are. That's just the kind of upholstery by which we built a little boat in which we navigate the reality. But we could build that boat because before that we were able to swim. Before we had language, we were already conscious. before we learned grammar, we could already understand. And for me, that is the foundation. And many religions, many traditional cultures also say that, that in a way you need to stop connecting to what you know to be able to understand what you do not know. And you need to stop thinking in the way that you know to be able to start to connect to the consciousness, which is much deeper and which is much more encompassing, and that magic and spirituality and healing and, say, religion is the same, that you are becoming more and more aware that you are cosmic, and that words and knowledge is a very limited representation of that.
Okay.
And a lot of science in that way is like braille lettering for a reality which they don't look at anymore. And magic is the realization that it's not about describing the things that we see and showing how that repeats, but about being a creator in creation and realizing that what you do is specifically very absolutely unique and essential and crucial for what can happen right there where you are standing for the benefit of the universe, humanity as a whole, and everybody else.
Yeah.
But that's in the unconscious. The conscious mind cannot do that. It needs to happen from the soul. So you need to shift away from what you know to what that deeper level where what the old tribe called in the dreaming. You need to feel it.
Yeah, but in our culture, we are very much educated into ignoring that other information.
Yes.
So I think there is a whole process that most of the people need to go through to be able to reconnect with this capability that we have. For me, it's been a long process.
And I think that all the people in this meeting have done that, have realized that, are doing that.
Yeah, I think so.
Which makes it possible to connect in a totally different way, and not talking about the weather and the football, but actually connecting to what we are doing and what the universe is doing.
Yeah. Great. Hope to see that soon. So, from my side, no more questions. If it's okay for you, we can also round up this conversation.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, so...